Thank you today for the presence and the glory of God. We welcome you even more into our hearts today. And I pray, Lord, that you will guide this vessel to speak your word. And I yield myself to you, humble myself under your mighty hand. And I pray the hearts of everyone that listens will understand and will be enriched and lifted up to higher places in you. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the week of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. How many are aware of that? And I love the Day of Atonement, what it represents. And I love what the day that we're in represents. You know, preceding the Day of Atonement was the Feast of Trumpets, which is the sounding of the voice to declare what's to be. Then you, the Day of Atonement, followed by the Day of Tabernacles. I'm getting my dates mixed up. But to see the sequence of how it was outlined in the Jewish nation so parallels what God is speaking in the church today. God's raising up a brand new voice, a revelation of what it means to be reconciled to the Father. No more are we in the days of estrangement, separation, but we're in the days of oneness. We begin to understand that oneness is the highest level that God has called us to be one with Him. So one with Him, in fact, that we share all that He is to the earth. In the oneness of God, in the joining together of two, out of that comes one expression. God never intended for us to have just an individual expression, but to be a joint expression to the earth. And so much of the church has had challenges with that because we've separated more than we've joined. But the Lord's saying, those days are over. These are the days where you're joined with me and you're joined with one another. Something good feels good about that, doesn't it? Everybody say it feels good to be a joiner. And atonement and goes right into what we've been speaking about and what we're going into even tonight. Atonement talks about reconciliation. Because if something had to be done about the nature of man, something had to be done in order for man to have his relationship to the Father reestablished upon the earth. We've got to understand this. God's intention from the very beginning was to be one with you. To walk with you, talk with you, move through you. That was how He created Adam and Eve, to be His expression to the earth. Because Adam spoke, Eve spoke, this was Him speaking. This, when they created, it was Him creating. When they named the creation, it was His voice naming those things. It was the separation that took place between God and man because of man's disobedience, man's sin. And the Scripture tells us clearly that sin has separated us from God. But we have to understand that that's past tense. Everybody say, sin is past tense. Because in the reality is, in the new covenant of God, sin is no longer a separation. Because Christ dealt with it. And that's what atonement does. Atonement deals with that which has separated us from God. Atonement is that which reunites us with the purpose of God. In the book of Leviticus, it tells us that the priest, there was two goats. I think it's good to remind ourselves of this principle. The first goat was slain for our sins. And we know in the Old Covenant that without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission of sin. So anytime you wanted to be forgiven, there had to be an animal sacrificed on your behalf. It could be that God changed the whole plan and brought one lamb because He knew the population would increase and we'd run out of animals. Can you imagine if you had to go out and kill an animal every time you sinned, you would be in jail. PETA would lock you up for cruelty to animals. So thank God, everybody say thank God, we no longer live in that day. We live in a new day, a better day. It's a better covenant. But in that day, the goat was sacrificed, and it was for the forgiveness of sins. But there was two goats, and I think most of you are familiar with that. The other goat was called the goat of removal. The biggest challenge is not saying, Lord, I accept your forgiveness. The biggest challenge is, Lord, I accept your restoration, your oneness. It's easy sometimes to say to someone, I forgive you. But it's difficult to say to that same person, I not only forgive you, but I accept you. Because I can no longer see what you did to me. It's impossible for the Lord to see the offense anymore on you. The ability for God to forget is his greatest attribute. Because if he were to remember one-tenth of what you were, he could never fellowship with you. He absolutely, if he remembered 1/100th of what you were, he couldn't fellowship with you. Because how could a God of light fellowship with any part of darkness? So in order for a God of light to fellowship with man, he has to make provision for man's forgiveness. And also he makes provision for man's position. So the goat of Azazel was called the goat of removal. The priest would, you'd be forgiven through the slaying of a goat, but the priest would actually take your sins that had been confessed and lay hands upon this goat, and then the goat would be driven out to the wilderness. In other words, he couldn't be found anymore. No more could the goat ever be remembered. Because he was taken outside where he'd no longer be seen. Saying that the sin that was upon them would never be brought back up to them. That's the beautiful part about atonement. Atonement sets at rest and destroys that which would hinder your relationship with God. Because salvation is not just getting free from the guilt of sin. Salvation is being projected into the fullness of what God has for you. Paul said, I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body would be preserved blameless under the coming of the Lord. So salvation is coming not only out of sin, but having sin taken out of you. Jesus was such a man that there was no sin in him. So he could rightly say, the wicked one can touch me not. There's no one that can accuse me, because in my heart, there's perfection. And God's bringing you into that same place. And you stand this morning through the blood of Jesus. Everybody say, thank God for the blood. Through the blood of Christ, but also through the priesthood of Christ, you stand not only forgiven, you stand restored back to oneness with him. Oftentimes, religion has left us wanting because it teaches a God of forgiveness, but it doesn't teach a God of acceptance. And when we have that deficit in our mindset, we're continually revert back to the lie that the enemy tries to tell us. How many believe there is a devil? If you believe that, well, don't believe too hard, because we don't want to put too much stock in it. But we know there is a devil. We know there is an influence that's wicked. We know there's an influence that's deceptive. And the scripture says that he is a liar and the father of lies. His main purpose is to try to lie to you, for your mind to buy into this fact that you haven't really received what God has said you had. If God said it, I believe it. Amen. Amen? The lie says that because of your failure, you'll never achieve your success. Your failure is so great that how could you ever expect to rise above that issue that you had? But God says you're free from that. The devil is a liar, but God is truth. Amen. And so we count everything that comes against us to try to show us and tell us what we're not as a lie. Everything that comes from God is to tell us who and what we are and what we can be. That's the truth. Amen. God has brought you out of this place to bring you into a place. He brought you out of your sin to bring you into the promised land, a place of fulfillment for your life. So we must put to death the illusion that the world tells us that we're insufficient to be what God wants us to be. It's a lie. Yeah, but I came in this morning not feeling like I was anything. Well, that's a lie. You're something because of what Christ did for you. The lie is to tell you and deceive you. And the funny thing about deception is that those that are deceived don't know they're in it. But anytime you believe something less than what God has spoken, that's deception. And God said, I've come to set you free from that. I've come to bring you into the land of freedom, the land of fullness and expression. See, atonement's not just a negative thing that says, I've dealt with your sin, but atonement. The beautiful part of atonement is that it's the process of God translating you out of darkness into the light of God. Bringing you out of the place of estrangement into the place of acceptance. Out of the place of disillusionment into the place of faith. Bringing you out of that place where you felt cut off. Now you're in the presence of the Lord. To make you one with the Father again. Oh my goodness, I love the Father this morning. I love that I can say, Abba, Father. I've been reunited with my Father. Do you miss you that have lost your natural fathers, do you miss them? I miss mine. Oh, I'd love to go back, and one time I was flying in a jet to Los Angeles, and we flew over Muleshoe, Texas. And the pilot said, if you look out your left window, you'll see the town of Muleshoe. Of course, at 45,000, 50,000 feet, there wasn't a lot to see. But we flew over exactly at noon. And I knew that at noon, my dad would be just about ready to hit this tee ball on the first hole of the Muleshoe Country Club. And it was a beautiful, clear day. And I looked down, and I saw the little golf course. It looked like a little bitty checker thing down there. I could see the whole golf course. Like a little bitty thing. It looked like that big. And I'm thinking, I sure miss you, Daddy. You would have, if you'd been alive, you'd be teeing off right now. In hole number one. Man, I miss you, Dad. But, you know, in God, I don't have to say to him any longer, I miss you. I've missed your comfort, your fellowship, your affirmation. I've missed your hug. I've missed your telling me you love me. I've missed you, God. No, but through Christ, now I can say, Abba, Father. Not some far-off thing that I see a little checker of what God is like, but now I'm near him. He's nigh me in my heart and close to me. He's one with me through Jesus Christ. He's transferred me. Like what Colossians says. He's delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of the sons of his love. His whole purpose that we're in today is to translate us out of that dark place, that estranged place, that we say, Lord, we are your sons. And now we are part of the sons of your love. Look what you've given us. Not only have you given me my salvation, but now you've given me my family. Because now through that I can know, when I understand his love, I can begin to see how much he loves you. And that bond of love that God gave me through Christ to him, that same bond now is with you. Because you're part of me, and I'm part of you. Everybody say, I'm part of you, and you're part of me. Something that cannot be separated. We like to talk about marriage, that when two are joined together, no, let no man put them asunder. Well, Christ is the husband, the church, and he's joined us together with him, that no man can separate us from Christ. Who can separate us from the love of God? Can demons? Can anything of this world? Can any powers of darkness, can they separate us? Can even angels separate you from the love of God? No. But that same translation of love that comes to God and through us to one another creates around us that we no longer can be separated. You're as much a part of me as I am of myself. Amen. Wow. That's why I've stayed, Sue and I have stayed here almost 31 years. Not because we didn't have other opportunities. We didn't have a lot, but we could have, if we would have pressed the issue, we could be pastoring in Maui, Hawaii right now. You know what made me not want to pastor in Maui, Hawaii? Not because I don't love Maui, Hawaii. Sit there, go out your porch in the morning where that church was and get your cup of coffee and sit on the porch and look at both sides of the island, water on this side and water on that side. 10 degrees cooler there than it was down below because you're up 2,000 or 3,000 feet. You know, that's, you could learn to enjoy that. What do we do today? Well, let's play golf. Well, no, let's go fishing. No, let's go surfing. Let's go watch the surfers. That's what I do, watch the surfers. I wasn't going to go surfing. But what's the motivation for why we're here and not there? Well, because I had a family here. Not only a natural family, but a spiritual family. What would I have said to Jack and Pat? Years back, so Jack and Pat, they'd say, well, we're going with you. Jack, thanks for laboring with me the last 20 years. It's been fun, but we're leaving to Hawaii. Well, gee, Bill, what about all those prophecies you had about what God was going to do here? Well, you know, someone else can fulfill it. No, my sense of oneness is greater than my sense of need. Think about that. Your sense of oneness should be greater than your sense of need. Because your fulfillment is not found in Hawaii, as much as you might think so. Your fulfillment is found in one another. And it could be in Hawaii. But in our case, it wasn't here. Might be in your case. Bless you. We'll come visit. Hallelujah. So when God, through Christ, brought this salvation to us, it was like, boom, like a seismic expression, like an earthquake, like a volcano exploding. Because in a moment of a twinkling of an eye, you were translated out of what you were into what he said you're to be. It was an explosion of violence. When you're literally thrust into a whole new place. I remember that night in November of 1970, my backyard of my house, when that happened to me, when I encountered a living God, all of a sudden, there it happened. That moment, I was thrust into becoming a new person. Everything changed overnight. No wonder my parents and my friends thought I had gone crazy. Sue thought initially I had. Then she got some of the crazy on her. Atonement created such a rapid transition. You see, in the moment that you, or whatever place you're in your life, the moment you make that choice and say, this day I accept you, the transition happens that moment. See, yeah, but I've been a Christian for 30 years. I don't need it. Yeah, you might need it. What you might need today, you don't need to go back and kill another goat because Christ died for your sins once and for all. But you might need to find an Azazel goat. You might need to go and say, hey, I got saved, but now I need to put all this junk I've been carrying on this other goat and let him get out of here to remember this stuff no more. It's amazing how much guilt and shame we carry with us because we refuse to go buy an Azazel goat. Send him packing. Give him a passport to hell. Here, goat, take this. Now go to hell. That's where that stuff belongs, doesn't it? It doesn't belong in heaven. It belongs in hell. This stinking thinking, this lying stuff we've received, this deception that we've taken on about all this junk, it doesn't belong on you. It belongs somewhere else. It belongs as far away from you as possible. Jesus said, I'm going to, in Hebrews chapter 10, take you and remove every thought of evil and every consciousness of sin from you. Yeah, but shouldn't we keep reminding ourselves how bad we are? No, that's the religion that you used to be in. You're not in that religion anymore. You're in the one now that says you're free from what you used to be. Well, you got to keep reminding them that they're sinners. I don't want anyone reminding me that I'm a sinner. I mean, who are you talking for, the devil or God? I mean, when you start telling people about all their problems, you're just lining up with the accuser. Well, but you got to tell them about their problems to get them right with God. No. Show them how good this thing is and how great it is and how wonderful it is if they'll just let that goat get out of their hair. Yeah. I don't like goats. I lived by goats one time. They stink. They're ornery. They eat all the good grass. All they leave is a bunch of rock piles wherever they've been at. And if you're not careful and you bend over in the night, you'll get ministered to by one. Goats don't need to be around here. Get out of here, goat. Good riddance to you. Quit carrying your old man around. Just put him on the cross. Well, I don't know about the cross. The cross knows about you. Nail it to the cross. Wow. My goodness. I guess this is going where I wanted it to go. I guess we ought to find out where God wants it to go. It's time to say we're God's creation. God formed us as sons. God has taken away the uncleanliness out of our life. When I came in this morning, I came in so free, so happy. Some of you, I went practice speaking Korean to, practicing my international language for my international trip. I would be so delighted to go to Korea and all of a sudden start speaking fluent Korean. Now that would freak even me out. But the tragedy would be I'd come back and I'd forget English and I would talk to you in Korean. We'd have to have a translator. But there's this translation. You see, understanding that all along God wanted us in His presence. All along He wanted the glory to be around us. He wants to translate us into His presence, into this place where He dwells, and we dwell with Him. So atonement brings us into the place of God. It brings us into the place of reconciliation and peace that we're going to talk about tonight. It was only through Christ that we can be reconciled and be brought together as one. Have you ever experienced oneness? Have you ever experienced intimacy? Have you ever experienced the loss of your identity to be so identified with another that when they saw you, they looked as though you were one person? That's the question, isn't it? That's how God is bringing us to be. That we all flow as one man through Christ. Well, I'm going to start buying the truth and getting rid of the lie. I'm going to transfer through Christ those things that are on me and let them become what has been upon Him become me. Because the DNA of God has invaded us in this hour. So wonderful to see that, isn't it? And you look at your brothers and your sisters, and what do you see there? What do you see them with them is that all of a sudden, hey, they're just like He is. They're just like what I would envision God is, this one I know, because out of them is flowing this beautiful fountain of life, speaking encouragement and blessing, edifying and strengthening who I am. Out of them is flowing this heart of forgiveness and restoration, this bringing me into all that God has called me to be. I love that part. This simple concept of faith that comes, that begins to make this happen for us, where God begins to bring us into this fast track of bringing us into His presence. And then all of a sudden, as we transition into that, it's so wonderful because you get into this and then you won't even remember what that was like when you were in that fear or in that place of unbelief. You won't even remember what that discouragement was because now you're in a place of safety and freedom in Christ. This reason Christ has come to set you free. And through His cross, we have that freedom. How many love Jesus this morning? Yeah. Amen. One of the things we've got to do is just yield ourselves to Him. I'm going to ask you the question. You don't have to bow your heads or close your eyes. But this morning, I want to ask you, first of all, have you been forgiven of your sins? If you can honestly say you've accepted Christ, you've been forgiven of your sins, lift up your hand just for a moment. Amen. Thank you. If you couldn't lift up your hand, I pray right now that you'll ask Him to forgive you. He's faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins, cleanse you of all your unrighteousness. Let me ask you also this question. Maybe you raised your hand, but You're carrying around guilt, condemnation. You're carrying around that which has kept you trapped. But you're saying today, I would like to have it removed out of my life. Today I need a go to removal. Today I need Jesus Christ to be the purger of my conscience, to take away the thoughts of evil and even the mistakes of my past. If you'd like for that to happen this morning, why don't you lift your hand up? Yes, over here, over there. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Just pray this prayer with me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I give you my sin to cast into the sea of forgetfulness, to remember no more. I've been set free by your power. I've been redeemed to be a son of your love. I am who you say I am. I'll do what you say I should do. I'll speak as you say I should speak. I'm yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, God is good, isn't he? Hallelujah. Love you guys this morning. Let's all stand up and let's worship the Lord. I just feel his presence today so much. I'm just asking the Lord to seal us in our hearts into that deep revelation of who he is. Lord, how we want to just know you in a renewed way so that we may know one another. And Father, I pray this morning that everyone here, their sins are forgiven in Jesus' name. Lord, I retain no one's sin. I retain no one's failure, but I speak total restoration to them. When you go out of this house this morning, I just pray that all of you would feel God's destiny upon your life. And that you'd not look at the things that have been, but you'd count them as dead. And you'd begin to say, Lord, I accept you in the life that you have to give me. You're the way, the truth, and the life. And I come to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to worship God this morning, and I want you just to worship him and let that flow into your heart. And then before you leave today, be sure to love on people and express his love for them and release them into what God has called them to be. Amen. You ready, Darren?